Hey everyone, this is hashtag gotta start somewhere. I'm Kate.
And I'm Belle, and this is episode 5. Welcome.
Episode 5. Welcome everyone. How are you doing, Belle?
I started off rough this morning because I did go to Dunkin' Donut to get a coffee, and they messed up my coffee. And so now I spent $7 and I'm drinking a Celsius. How about
that? That is the absolute worst when you go and get a coffee and you spend money on it and it tastes like shit.
It's literally $7 down the toilet.
Great. We can't be wasting precious coffee money out here with these prices.
Oh, no. Don't get us started on these prices. Kate and I speak on the prices like every day. We really are how do you say geriatric millennials?
Yeah, geriatric.
Mm-hmm. Geriatrics. Look at my vocab. Geriatric.
You know, well, and Val did forget to mention earlier in these episodes that she's bilingual. And if you haven't noticed, sometimes she messes up her English words and I have to correct her. But, you know, we got a bilingual queen up in this bitch.
Yeah, it's a running joke in our friendship and with everybody in my life. So welcome.
Welcome, everyone. All right, so this is kind of a different week for us because there's been a lot of stuff happening in pop culture, and we're just going to get right into it with the first subject this week being the death of Aaron Carter.
Okay, I just want to start off by saying that last week we had Takeoff's murder, and now we have Aaron Carter's death, and both of these deaths have affected me differently. I cried
for both of them.
I want to start off by saying Aaron Carter, according to reports, was found with huffing, like inhalation thingies, and then with a bottle of pills laying in the bathroom. But his autopsy report has not come out as of yesterday. So
I did mean to ask you that because I was thinking yesterday I need to look up his autopsy because I heard they found him in the bathtub, like mm-hmm. drowned in the bathtub. But then I was saying to myself, what was the cause of it? What drugs were in his system? What have you?
Yeah. So I did know from a few years back that he was into like huffing or whatever, puffing, whatever it is, cans that you're going to
yeah,
puff.
Though I think that's like with, you know, the whipped cream, like, you know how those like bottles and I think they're called like whippets or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's that, like, scary.
And I thought that we were out of this stage, but again, like, I'm not making light of this at all, but he is a millennial like us. He's 34 years old. So if he didn't have the funds to maybe get into another drug or whatever the case may be, maybe this was easier access, which this is totally heartbreaking, nonetheless.
It is. And he has, you know, it has been hard because you can see so many star celebrities that are our age who grew up in that Disney era have had problems. And it's really sad because Aaron Carter – my sister actually made this point the other day, how he was actually the Justin Bieber to us at one point, like when we were kids. I remember going crazy for that Lizzie McGuire video he did, the I Want Candy video, and we were all obsessed. So he was kind of like our Justin Bieber for a bit when we were kids, before Justin Bieber, you know?
Absolutely. And I lived for the drama between him, Hilary Duff, and mm-hmm. who was it? Lindsay Lohan?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He did say, so he went on live the night before he died, and people were just being so brutal on him, okay, saying you should kill yourself and stuff like this. And, you know, he died the next night. And he did say, I wonder if all of these haters are Backstreet Boys, like, hater fans. Because mm-hmm. I don't think that he was able to shy away from that persona. However, he had his own thing going for him. You know, he was trying to be a rapper. you know, he had a lot of demons that he fought. You know, he did get sexually assaulted by his older sister, and she passed away years ago.
Yeah.
I know that he did say a couple years ago that Nick, his brother, knew about the sexual allegation and didn't, like, you know, defend his brother and stand up for him. And right. again, this goes back to what, you know, Kate and I always discuss, how being famous and having that money is totally different. So do I believe that maybe Nick Carter did know and didn't do anything about it because he was just in his own, like, fame and own world? Yeah, I believe so.
Right.
And I do believe that Nick Carter mourned Aaron Carter's death, like, years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I definitely, this, you know, it's a cruel world we live in. Because even when, what's his name, Chadwick Boseman died, the Black Panther, leading up to his death, everyone was going ham on him online. Oh, he looks like shit. You know, he looks like he's on drugs, this and that. And people really are so brutal. And you know that, you know, Aaron Carter had issues and people just continued to, like, pry on him. And then it's like, you know, he dies and everyone's like, you know, RIP to you, like, and it's like, you, everyone was just an asshole to him. Like, you know, you look like shit. And he, like, honestly, I'm seeing, like, these older interviews of him on TikTok, and it's just really, really sad how many issues he had and that he never addressed. And, you know, addiction is a scary thing, and all around just a sad situation. And did you see this conspiracy, how he wanted to talk to certain people and then the next day he was dead?
Listen, not for nothing, I somewhat believe in this, not because of the Kanye West behind of it. I believe that certain actors or child actors or whatever the case may be, if they do know certain things that's going on in the industry, whether it be human trafficking, child trafficking, whatever the case may be, kind of like Chester from Linkin Park. He was working on a documentary and then he died.
Right.
You know? So I don't think that it is
a coincidence.
I don't think it's a coincidence, but I'm not going to say that's 100% sure. Do you remember the actress from Kim Possible and Even Stevens?
Yeah.
Christy Romano Carlson. She's kind of big on TikTok. She started TikTok like before the pandemic hit. And she's made a name for herself. And she actually just came out with a podcast where she's helping child actors and their demons that they fought. And it's all coming to light. So she's interviewed Melissa Joe Hart. She's interviewed other actors and actresses, and she wants to discuss on Aaron Carter, but she did say that she's going to wait a few weeks because it's still so recent. Yeah. But, and honestly, she's doing the Lord's work, because I don't believe it's all with conspiracy, but I do think that we, you know, they grew up damaged in some way. They knew at the age of 10 probably what drugs were when we didn't know, you know?
Right. And going back to being so popular at such a young age, I mean, and it's happened with so many of our, you know, our favorite pop stars and stuff and actresses who have just completely went off the rails because, you know, growing up in that is hard. Yeah. So
absolutely. And I do want to say, I want to read what Hillary Duff said on Instagram, because it was just so heartbreaking for Aaron. I'm deeply sorry.
Oh, I didn't read it yet. So thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. For Aaron, I'm deeply sorry that life was so hard for you and that you had to struggle in front of the whole world. You had a charm that was absolutely effervescent. Boy, did my teenage self love you deeply. Sending love to your family at this time.
Oh.
Boy, did my teenage self love you so deeply. We all loved him.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, no, we did. We did. When we were young, little teeny boppers. Because, you know, he's our age.
Correct.
So Val needs a moment.
He just had a baby too, like 6 months ago. So
yeah.
And, you know, I used to follow him for years, and I unfollowed him actually 2 years ago because the comment section was very toxic. And, you know, my toxic trait is I love reading the comment sections, you know, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't handle it. So if I couldn't handle it and I unfollowed him, imagine the person. So
exactly. Exactly. That's rough. That's so rough. Oh, gosh. Honestly, it really is just a sad situation all around. Yeah. You know, he has a, like you said, he has a young child. And
yeah,
I just, you know, we can, all we can hope and pray is that he is, you know, in a better place and he is no longer fighting those demons and he's free, you know?
Amen to that.
You
Amen.
Know, it's just, it, yeah, it's just people are just brutal. And like I said, it's these little keyboard warriors that just think because they can say stuff that they're just going to say stuff to another human being. And, you know, that has to have an effect. And another post that I love while we're on it was the game's post about him. That was so good and such a good story. And like coming from him, you know, of all people, like, oh, you knew Aaron Carter and like had a really yeah, cool experience with him. All right. So here's the post by the game. Nick Carter, your words to your brother, as honest and pure as they were, touched me this morning. So I wanted to write you back and share with the world a quick story that was a true testament to Aaron's character and heart. It was mid-year 2005, and I boarded a flight to New York with my now 19-year-old son and his mom to do a 106 in Park, and we were first class, so we thought. Turns out they overbooked, and we were one seat short, and he was sitting across the aisle and said, "Hey, you guys have this little man, you can have my seat game." At this time, my first album had dropped, and I still wasn't sure everyone knew who I was, so every new game called out was fresh and made me feel like I'd accomplished something great. The plane wasn't full, so Aaron went back to coach and sat in an aisle and had the whole row to himself, so he was chilling. I felt bad about him giving up his seat, so I thought to myself, fuck that, I'm going to sit in coach too. He had on his headphones, AirPods weren't a thing back then, but he took them off, and I asked him if I could sit. He said, he of course said, fuck yeah, man. We ended up talking the entire damn near 6-hour flight, and I can remember thinking how cool it was to be talking to a guy I've seen on MTV a million times, who my little sister loved to death, because again, I had just become a star, so this was super dope. We got to know one another very well during that flight, exchanged sidekick numbers, and always hugged when we saw each other over the years. Yesterday, when I read of his passing, it really hurt my feelings, and I instantly thought of that flight and our time chilling in the sky. He was dope AF and a very good human. My love and condolences are with you, your family, and his baby boy through this tough time and after. Hit me whenever, forever. Rest easy, Aaron. Fly high, kid.
Oh, beautiful. So beautiful.
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 Yeah.
I think with that note, we should switch gears because that was very beautiful.
It was. Let's end that on a high note. Hillary's beautiful post and Game's beautiful post. So,
yeah.
All right. So, we are going to segue right on into Love is Blind season 3 on Netflix.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Because honestly, like,
very time consuming.
Yeah. And I've been taking notes, but now I forgot everything what happened in the actual episodes. And now all I'm thinking about is the reunion.
All right. So, let's go ahead and start off with Alexa and Brennan.
Okay. Honestly,
fan favorite.
They have surprised me.
Me too. In the beginning, I wasn't too sure. I was, you know, saying to myself, is this even going to last? They're such kind of an odd couple. And honestly, she bothered the crap out of me in the beginning.
Polar opposites. You got country boy hick, city girl, Botox obsessed.
Coming from money. And yeah just crazy.
And I think that that couple's true testament, Love is Blind.
Yes, 100%.
Because I do think that they defeated all the odds, and at least so far. You know, yeah. She did say in the reunion that after they moved in together and stuff like that, there were fights. I mean, hello, marriage is hard. Any new relationship is hard. you know?
Living with somebody is completely different, you know? And absolutely. You really have to learn that as you go.
Correct.
Brennan, I just love him. I don't think I gave him enough credit in the beginning, but at the reunion when he was sticking up for all the other girls, handing Nancy a handkerchief, I'm just like, you are so sweet. So sweet.
Listen, he is a true gentleman, not just for his woman, but to the other ladies. And there's a difference between being a gentleman just to your woman and just being going that extra mile for your coworkers, you know?
Right. You can tell he's just very genuine, just with his wife.
And honestly, not for nothing, he grew on me with the whole like looks. He looked very handsome in the reunion.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens because, no, I do agree. He looked very handsome in the reunion and just that like Southern gentleman, you know, that just like tops his, you know, his looks. So I am definitely team Alexa and team Brennan. I think they are super cute and I hope they continue to grow their love and have a very happy marriage.
And I do hope that they have little babies just because the babies would be so cute.
They would. And they're both really tall. They're tall, so they're gonna have tall babies. Yeah. I don't know if you saw her TikTok. Like, I think we shared it with each other how she had on like oven mitts. She was like, "I can't let anyone know," and everyone in the comments was like, "Well, it's coming from a tall angle, so I'm pretty sure that's Brennan filming you." You know, everyone in the comments has to ruin it.
Listen, we're all internet sleuths, and honestly,
we are.
I love when people ruin shit for me because they're taking the time.
I'm the opposite.
Oh, really? No.
I was just on Twitter complaining about how reality TV used to be so much better before social media. But here we are. I mean, I do have a good time sleuthing around, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the next couple, Nancy and Bartiz. Mm-hmm. Fuck boy Bartiz. Am I right? So I feel bad for Nancy because you can tell she really got blindsided and clearly there had been conversations off camera that led her to believe that this man was actually going to say yes to her because she completely looked blindsided. And she told him, like, you know, I thought we were on the same page of like, hey, we're going to, you know, really do this. And yeah. And P.S. her family is very scary.
Okay, he did it all for clout. He did it all for the show. I originally thought that that Raven did it all for the show, but it was Bartiz that did it all for the show. Okay.
Agreed.
He is a fuckboy 1000%. I think that he is even more of a piece of shit than Deep D's lover.
Shake.
I think he's more of
a piece of shit. Yeah, because at least Shake was like, you know, out there being an asshole. Like everyone knew he was an asshole. Bartiz played this little whatever. And I don't know if you noticed, two things in the reunion. How every time something was brought up, he was like, well, it was how I was going through it. And it was how I was going through and dealing with it. And it's like, yo, this is not about you. He's such a narcissist. And I love that Alexa called him out and was like, well, you were out on a boat 3 days later. So with some tall blonde chick. I was like, yes, Alexa, call him out.
The girls went ham. And honestly.
Yeah, they did.
Let's go back to the wedding because I am so proud of Nancy because she held her composure when she knew that she wanted it to fall apart and her family was falling apart for her. And I felt that so deep because her brother wanted it to, I swear her brother was going to freaking just stab him.
Shank him in the parking lot.
Shank him. If I was Bartiz, I would have been like, I would have been shaking. Like, because homeboy wouldn't care if these producers, nothing. You're just a cameraman. Like,
yeah, no.
You fuck with my sister, I'll fuck
you. They would
up.
Have easily caught a charge, okay?
Oh my God. No. It's just, he's so conniving. He did it all for the show. Like, and the way that he just consistently just bashed her looks.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I take it back. Bartice and Shake are the same. Because
yeah. Well, no, yeah, you're right. Because
it was Shake all about the appearance shit for them.
Yeah, he did the same shit and he was talking about it to the other guys. Did Bartice talk about it to the other guys about the attraction?
Oh, yeah. That's what Nancy said in the reunion. I thought he only talked
to Nancy about it, which...
Because it was brutal. What she said, it was just too brutal honest. Because right. He said it to his family. He said it to her. He said it to the boys. He said it on the confessional. So, and like she said, and honestly, like Brennan said, you were just too honest. Like... there's a point where you don't need to be that honest. For what? Why? I felt like he was intentionally trying to hurt her feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, she just, you can tell Nancy is such like a warm person and a sweet, genuine person. And I honestly just feel so bad. Because, I mean, it's hard to say when you're in that situation, but I don't know personally if I could be listening to this person who I'm supposed to marry be tell me how hot this other person is. And like, I don't know. That's just like, I don't know. That's a bit much for me.
And I liked what Nancy said in the reunion. She goes, "This at the end of the day, this goes back to your age. You're 25 years old."
Correct.
She's what?
Okay. 32, and 33? I've said this before in passing. He's 25.
She's 32
and
or 34.
She's 30. I think she's 34.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I
was dating a 25-year-old.
Absolutely not.
Like my brother. Disgusting.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And honestly, I don't understand why casting thought that was a good idea. If there's going to be mid-30s women, you need to have late 20s. And by late 20s, I mean, I think Brennan was 28. 29,
yeah.
Fine. I'll deal with that, but come on. These 25, no.
Well, my husband and I are almost 2 years apart, and I am a cougar, so. But anything less than that is disgusting.
Well, my husband's 4 years older than me for good reason, like, you know?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Cougar Val. I love when you bring that up.
Okay, so he's a fuckboy. Don't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, no, fuck him. No. He's a narcissist. All he cares about is himself. And yeah, I hope he grows up a bit. And let's all hope that he doesn't do that to another woman. So, God. Hmm. All right, next couple. Han Raven.
So I initially thought watching the show that Raven was just doing it all for clout. I'm like, no, this lady, she just wants to be on the show. She wants to look good.
Right.
She wants to find a man to take care of her. And that scene when she's with her friends and they were questioning his like culture and stuff and she rolled her eyes, that really pissed me off. But I have to remember that editing, like editors are so sketchy. So like
– so sketchy.
Yeah. But I got surprised that they ended up together. And honestly, it destroyed me when she was crying in the wedding and her – like and then his mom saying, say yes, say yes, say yes or something like that. When she started crying, I was like, oh, she really loves him.
Yeah. And I agree. I was not a huge Raven fan at all. And you can tell that she grew with SK. Like, SK made her a better person at the end of the day, because I agree. I was like, oh, you're just on this to, you know, be on a show, whatever. And she was pulling that shit about like, oh, you need to take care of me and this and that. And Natalie from season 2 of Love is Blind, she commented on this. She's like, I know editing has, you know, a lot to do with it. And like you said, the editors, you know, can be iffy. But she was like, why does she need him to take care of her? Like, I don't understand. Like, I like as women, you know, we're very like, you know, independent and whatever, like, why do you have to just be like, okay, you have to take care of me now? And she went, honestly, when that whole scene happened and he was talking about like, she won't like, you know, give and take with me or whatever, that was when I was like, I don't think he's going to say yes. But I knew, I always knew that, you know, they'd do like the dating afterwards thing. When he said no, I was like, I still felt that they were going to be together. And I'm glad because they are, you know.
And they're a beautiful couple.
They're beautiful. And you can tell she's grown so much and they love each other so much. And he's so secure with himself. Like, he's like, I know my girl's a baddie and, you know, comes with the territory. And
he's beautiful too.
He is. And just like in general, like
and
the
his
whole family package.
Is beautiful too.
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
You might, for me, like you might, I can think you're beautiful because of your personality, you know? Like that's
yes.
how I feel with Brennan. Like
exactly.
At the end of the season, I think like SK is such a beautiful like human
Same.
Being and soul.
Honestly, and SK and Brennan, the most solid dudes on the show, like so happy to have watched them. Like it's just, they're just like really good, good men, you know?
And I want to give props for Raven for when she was at the pool and Bartice was trying to shoot his shot. She was like,
she was like, yeah, thanks. Thank you. And then she went on camera to be like, man, I'm here with my man. Like, I'm not interested. I'm so glad she didn't give him.
Bartice was like, yeah, we've had such an emotional connection. And he started that talking about it in the pool. And then like 30 seconds later, Raven's like, well, you know, what would you and I talk about? Like going to the gym and stuff. Like she shut him down. And honestly,
I love it.
She could have followed Pat kind of like the other kind of like Colleen did with Cole.
Right.
You know?
I know.
But she
stuck
didn't. To her guns. And that's when I was like, okay, my girl, you know.
No, I agree. I was so happy she didn't give him the time of day and just was like, no, my man. Sorry.
Yeah. And I want to say that like, I love when Raven and Nancy spoke at the reunion because, I mean, you can tell that they talked about it off camera and stuff like that.
Right.
But the way that they just acknowledged it. Wait, did Raven apologize to Nancy or no? Why do
yeah,
I feel like Nancy apologized to – I feel like Nancy apologized to Raven for something. I don't know.
I think they both mutually apologized to each other because Nancy was calling Raven like a negative person and then Raven was Nancy's the girl you don't want to run into in the grocery store. And then I think they both were like, well, we've – you know – and even Raven said it. She was like, you know, we were – like Nancy's my girl – and, you know, we've like talked since then. And like at the beginning of the pods, you know, you're dealing with all these different girls and different characteristics. So like I didn't know her like that, you know, and I think they both from what I recall, they, you know, mutually kind of apologized for the comments that they had made on the show.
Good for them, because I really do love that at least Love is Blind. It's portraying women with each other and not pinning against each other.
Exactly.
So, all right,
exactly.
Let's do Colleen.
Boring ass Matt and Colleen.
Okay, honestly. Like,
we should have started with them because I really don't have anything to say about them.
I don't have anything to say.
They are both red flags. They both need to work on themselves. And I think they just wanted to be like get married, like in general.
Although I am happy that they're not living together and that they're just like together. So that's okay, you know? It's working for them. And hey, maybe
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
You know.
And how Nick and Vanessa were like, listen, everybody's story is different, you know, and if that works for you and you guys see each other, whatever. I will say I respect that Colleen apologized to Zanab like directly about the pool thing. She was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to disrespect you and I never would. Like, you're my girl, whatever. And I think it was hard for her to go through the reunion and watch it. You could see her face. Like, she was just like, ooh, very cringe. But even Matt was like, you know, she came and told me exactly what happened, like, that day. So when that scene happened, it was just like, okay, obviously it's hard to watch, but she had already told me. So, you know, but yeah, they're kind of just like a snooze fest. Like he's just like, he clearly has some figuring out to do. And so does she.
So does she. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I guess we'll leave it to the last but not least.
Listen, I have a lot of things to say. I might like take up everything, but let me start.
So we're going to talk about Zainab and Cole.
Yeah, I'm very upset with Zainab. Okay, I think that she gaslit him the whole season. Yes, Cole is a little boy, okay? But he genuinely looked so hurt in the reunion. I was legit pissed, okay? She bashed him, okay? She bashed him and bashed him and bashed him. And that whole little cuties, that little Mandarin situation. No, bitch, you literally extended the truth. That's all you did. You thought that it wasn't going to show and you wanted it to say that your insecurities are your own insecurities and you try to portray it onto him. And the whole world saw it.
Right. So my take on this is her after the pool party and the comments of like, oh, you're a 9 out of 10, whatever. Like, I think after that moment is when it was just like, okay, it was like kind of all downhill from there. Because after that, it was just her insecurities taking control. It wasn't her. It was her insecurities. And that's how she reacted to everything, was through her insecurity and not mm-hmm. from herself. And I get it. She, you know, was taking on or felt like she had to take on that like mom role of, you know, pick up your shit and do this and do that. But honestly, I think both of them were just not meant to match. Like, I think he was way too young and he did not know how to communicate with those types of issues that she was dealing with. Clearly, like, that's a lot to take in as anyone, a 34-year-old woman, a 34-year-old man, like anything. But I just think her insecurities just ruined that entire relationship. And I don't love how she bashed him the way she did, because yeah, he is, you know, young and didn't think before he spoke a lot of times. But yeah, I don't like how she villainized him as the way that she did.
Yes. And I did want to say that I thought that in the wedding episode that she was just feeding off Deep Dee, but I was doing a little deep dive, you know, being a little sleuth. And Deep Dee's wedding and Zainab's wedding were actually filmed a week apart. So Zainab would have never seen what Deep Dee said to Shake.
Wow.
So that's putting that out there in perspective. So that kind of makes me, that gives her a brownie point in my eyes, but not that much.
Because I was like, the minute I knew they weren't, you know, she wasn't going to say yes. And I was like, she's going to pull a Deep Dee. So the fact that she actually pulled a Deep Dee without having seen anything. Yeah, no. And listen, you can tell that she grew up a bit from Cole by going through those things. And clearly she had issues that she had to work through. And like, as a woman, I'm always like, you know, good for you, like pro growing women. Like, I'm all for women growing and self-love and finding yourself, but don't do it at the expense of this guy who clearly like doesn't know.
Well, and I want to advocate for men a little bit. I know that this is not a good topic for some women, but I do think that some women do try to, I want to choose my words carefully, but I do feel like women do try to villainize, how do you say that word?
Yeah, villainize.
Villainize men, and because we're programmed to just believe women with the whole Me Too movement that started back, you know, a couple of years ago. I do think that Zainab, I think I'm a little bit on Cole's side, I guess, in this whole arrangement.
I would say I'm not on any side. I feel like I'm completely neutral. I 100% see her villainizing Cole and not having accountability for her insecurities and what she was going through. Okay.
So that's what it is. Accountability. She had no accountability. And at the end of the day, Cole did. He was held accountable for what he said.
Yes. No, I agree. And honestly, I felt really bad for him because like the girls were going in on him. And I was like, they went in on in the reunion, they went in on him harder than they did Bartice. And I'm like, Bartice should have been the one getting yelled at and been called a fuckboy. You know what I mean? But Cole is just like, you know, you can tell like he like when he broke out in tears, like, you know, I'm trying to be better. Like that was really sad, you know?
Yeah, again, it goes back to what you said, that they really need, they either need to keep the females and males in like their late 20s or early 20s together or in their early 30s, because he's, again, what, 25, 26 years old?
Right.
Xanob was, what, 32?
34. You know,
34, again, you know?
Yeah, I think she was 34.
Yeah, and she comes with a lot of baggage. Her right. parents died. That's a huge baggage, you know? She has right. body, you know? She has insecurities with her bodies. And listen, yeah. we all do. But I just don't think – I honestly, like you said, it just played out horribly on TV.
It did.
And we did see – I believe that TV caught her in a bad – you know, in a bad light. But I want to read what she posted on Instagram. Did you read it?
No.
Okay. This is what she said a day ago. An apology for the internet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you weren't in that relationship. I'm sorry you didn't feel what I felt. I'm sorry we don't have the same triggers. I'm sorry me standing up for myself offended you so greatly. I'm sorry you didn't see all the reasons for what I said. I'm sorry you didn't live that with me. I'm sorry that you don't know me. I'm sorry your insecurities are different than my own. I'm sorry your online hate says so much more of you than it ever will of me. I'm sorry Deep Dee's wedding was a week before mine, long before you or I knew her story. I'm sorry you are attacking my faith. I'm sorry you don't know, you don't believe me. I'm sorry I know how worthy I am. I'm sorry you have the time to be a keyboard warrior. I'm sorry I'm not a paid actress. I'm sorry I can't cry on demand. I'm sorry you feel manipulated, gaslit, and played. I'm sorry I'm your villain. I'm sorry I'm your bad guy. I promise you I'm not. One thing about me is I choose my words carefully and I stand by everything I said.
Okay, so that was to me just like a very, I'm the victim.
No, she was defensive.
Defensive.
Because right. she knew that she, well, how she was portrayed. And listen, right. I don't 100% blame her. I know that these producers are sometimes sketchy. Like they're meant to for drama. But at the end of the day, they're only filming what's already being there, you know? So they're not actually putting like sentences together. Like the sentences are coming, the words are coming out of your own mouth, and we're seeing that. So
correct. It's not a script. Correct. You're not reading off a script that's trying to make you look bad. Like you showed yourself on camera. And yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Yeah, after the reunion, I was like, don't really love that. So, like I said, I'm neutral in it, but if I'm leaning towards a side, like I'm definitely more on Cole's side for
sure. Yeah. Good, as you should be. Or else I would have to send you BFF
otherwise,
divorce papers.
You would have to, right.
Okay.
Oh, man. Okay. So, one more thing on Love is Blind. Do you think it would have been different if, what was that guy's name? Andrew and Nancy would have gotten together.
Eye drop guy. I do think it would have been different. I think that they actually would have like matched.
I think so too.
Because
I think
he was older. He was financially stable.
Right.
Like,
and it's,
you know,
crazy because she was like, he just feels like he's too much go with the flow. And Bartice is just like home and stable, and it's like, oh damn, that blew up in your face, honey.
Oh, God. Okay, I want to talk about Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey really quick. Okay, because I don't know if you noticed, but Nick Lachey goes, he said to who was it, SK, he goes, well, believe me, the second time around is better. And like, production cut Vanessa's reaction, but the next reaction within like 10 seconds later, she was pissed and she was looking down. And like she had his arm like this. You can tell that she was squeezing him.
Oh my gosh. I need to go back and watch that.
Like, just watch their body language. I'm like, I sometimes miss what the cast says because I'm just so into Vanessa and Nick, because I was obsessed with, I'm still obsessed with Jessica Simpson, and I was obsessed with their marriage, their thing. I'm that whole trio I was obsessed with. Right. So I just love it when
do you think that Vanessa has insecurities still from that? Like,
100,000%.
Which Absolutely. Is so crazy to me. Like, homegirl, people get, you know, married and are on their second marriage. Like,
they all have 3 kids each.
Right. Like, ugh, that's crazy.
Well, Jessica Simpson sent in her book, she said that she sent Vanessa Lachey a gift for her second baby or whatever. And Nick opened. Men are fuckboys. Okay. Men don't think.
Men do not think.
Nick opened it, like, laid it on the counter, didn't even tell Vanessa. And then Vanessa was like, what's this?
There was, like, no context.
Yeah. So then Jessica and Vanessa spoke and just, you know, whatever, you know. I don't think right. that they don't hate each other, but I do think that Vanessa has insecurities. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do think that. Also, one other thing, Lauren and Cameron, can they be the next Love is Blind hosts from season 1? Remember the interracial couple?
Okay, let's talk. Okay, you guys, so Kate never saw Love is Blind. So here's a little background. Kate just got into Love is Blind. When did you get into Love is Blind?
Whenever season 2 came out.
Whenever season 2 came out.
Which was last year or the year before?
No, last season 2 came out.
Was it 2021 or 2020?
No, girl, it was earlier this year.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, yeah, season 2 is when I got into it. Yeah, I remember everyone talking about season 1, and I never got into it.
So I got into season 1 came out during COVID. I got into it, and then me and my other friend, we were just like constantly like researching them, and I still follow some of them. But season 1 is top tier. With the
season
couples.
1 is the best. Season 2
with the girlfriends, that is top tier. I think that their bond with the girls are stronger than the bond with the girls of season 1 and season 3.
That I do agree on. I do love that the girls got so close in season 2. I just mean in like as a whole, I loved season 1. And I kept asking Val, because I had only seen season 2 and I knew season 3 was coming out. And I was like, do you think I should watch season 1? And she's like, absolutely. And let me tell you, I finished season 1 so quick and it was so good. So like all the couples are fresh in my mind. And then I'm seeing on TikTok, like, why can't Lauren and Cameron be the next host instead of Nick and Vanessa? Like, and it would be so great if they were, because, you know, they're still out here going strong.
And they're a beautiful, 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 beautiful.
They are.
Interracial couple that have thrived. And
yep.
I just want to be invited to the cookout. That's it.
Oh, seriously. And oh my God. And Lauren is so gorgeous. Every time she like walked, and it was funny because, you know, season 1 is fresh in my mind. Everyone was like, yo, Lauren is so hot. Like, everyone said it. The girls, the guys, like, wow, she is really beautiful. Well, now that we have discussed Love is Blind for many minutes, are you ready to end us off with a high note, Val?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. I believe that we deal with situation every day, right? And we need to learn how to manage them. So my dad used to say this, you can't stop the wave, but you can learn how to surf, okay? And in my affirmation book, look at this quote, and I just got chills. It says, life is an ocean of swirling emotions with many up and downs. We can choose to struggle against the wave of life, or we can learn how to surf. We have the tools we need to navigate anything that comes our way. So listen, guys, we have everything we need. We just need to learn how to surf and ride the wave. So when you are struggling this weekend or next week, just be like, listen, I have everything I need. I just need to just get on my surfboard and surf.
Yes, I love that. And like a good testament of like, you know, you have your tools that you need to get through and just kind of let it flow, man. Like just let that shit
Just let it
flow. I
ride.
love that you found that in your affirmations. And yes, that was your dad's quote of life.
Yeah, I should get that tattooed next.
Yeah, you should. You should. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed episode 5, and we will be back next week. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
All right, and until next time, bye.